Please take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm turning there as well. While you're turning, let me just say that indeed there is a lot of work to be done on this building on a regular basis. We are of the persuasion that we shouldn't wait till it's falling apart to fix it. We want to be redemptive. We want to be proactive. But that takes a lot. Steps are crumbling out front. It'll probably be, by the time we get through the various things, over six figures to fix all these things. And it won't look a whole lot different. But it's absolutely necessary to keep the integrity of the building and keep everybody safe. And we do try to keep you and your children safe. We really do. Like, we don't take lightly something falling off the sign over there. Whenever a light bulb goes out on an exit sign, everybody knows I'll say there's an exit sign where there's a light out over Pastor Vicky's office, because we want to make sure that we are spiritually safe and preach the right gospel here, but that we also keep you safe in other ways as well. So just thank you for your continued giving and tithes, offerings, and alms, because that's absolutely needed. And in these days, we take offerings differently than we once did. It never was meant to wave the offering basket under somebody's nose until they gave. That wasn't the goal. But it's just a lot easier to remember it when it comes down your aisle every Sunday than when you have to do it at home, or you have to do it in the back of the church, or you have to come up here. So enough said on that. Amen? Let's take a look together at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Say mighty power with me. Mighty power. Put on the full armor. How much of the armor? Full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the ruler, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full, how much? Full armor of God, so that when the day comes, you may be able to stand. What do we want to do? Stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. And then he says the third time, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all of this, take on the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray. What are we to do? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, not just when in the foxhole and in trouble, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. And all of God's people say, amen. I want to talk to you today about perhaps a topic that's a little strange for some. You may think it's a little mysterious, and it is. But the theme is what the Bible says about angels, demons, and spiritual warfare. I want those of you who are watching online to please take notes as well. And those who are here and you look around, somebody's not here, tell them to watch it later on so the whole church can get this message. Because we live in a world that is both visible and invisible. Would you agree? Some of us make too much of the visible world. You know, this pulpit is solid wood. We look around us and we see a lot of temptation, and usually it comes by our five senses. John calls it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Parable of the sower talks about the person who becomes a believer but immediately is distracted by all the things, the girls, the gold, and the glory that are all around us. And before you know it, the visible world is more important than the invisible world. Now, there are other people, on the other hand, who make too much of the invisible world. New Agers and crystals and people naming angels and naming demons. And there are even some believers who go overboard in the mystical area. Everything is a demon. The truth of the matter is that somewhere in the middle is the reality. We do live in a visible world, don't we? We don't deny that. But there is also an invisible world that surrounds us. I don't want to be weird here, but I got to tell you that if your eyes could be open, like Elisha prayed for his servant, remember? We would see in this room probably a battle going on. If you could get images, not off of CNN or Fox, but from God's perspective over the Ukraine and over Russia, you would see a battle going on. If you were to go to that store in Buffalo yesterday before the murders and you were to see that man drive in the parking lot, you would see a battle going on. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The truth of the matter is somewhere in the middle, and that's the ground we want to achieve. You see, evil in the Bible is comprised by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, Ephesus, to whom Paul's writing in our text, Ephesus was a city of very intelligent, very well-educated people. Don't think that people who follow weird stuff are necessarily uneducated. They're just weird and educated. Ephesus was a pagan city, and there was a lot of belief in the supernatural. How many of us know that we don't have to apologize for the supernatural when it's right supernatural? I don't care who the individual is. I remember what Samuel Johnson said. Babies don't want to hear stories about babies. They want to hear stories about giants and castles. They don't want to hear, you know, when we come to church, we want to hear that God does miracles. We want to see God do miracles. These missionaries who represent us all over the world, wherever they go, they don't just preach from the Greek and the Hebrew. Those individuals aren't so interested in that. They want to see if God works or not. Does God still have power? You see? So if you read Acts 19, when Paul went to Ephesus there, it says he performed extraordinary miracles. And I've always been taken with that phrase. I mean, that sounds redundant or repetitive, right? Because a miracle by definition is extraordinary. So I guess these were really super-duper miracles that caused even the people in that town who believed in all of their incantations stopped and said, hold it, there's a new sheriff here in town. So evil spirits were cast out. Read the story. People were healed. And then, of course, there's always the counterfeiters. Devil can't whip them, he'll join them. So there are these sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest who had a business of supposedly casting out devils, and he told his sons to go deliver this man, presumably for money, and to proclaim that this would happen in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches. And the demons said, you know what, we've got to listen to Paul, we've got to listen to Jesus, we don't have to listen to your stuff. And jumped on him and tore their clothes all off, and they ran naked and bleeding. And even that caused people to sit up and say, whoa, something is happening here that is supernatural. And they made a decision that we were praying earlier for the Seychelles, that they would not just come nominally to Christ, but they would forsake everything else. See, there are many religions that are very glad for us to shove over all their deities and put Jesus in among them. But Jesus topples all the deities. He doesn't want to be one among many. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so they brought their stuff, their incantations and their books and their Ouija boards and all this stuff that they had been following, and the new believers piled it up and burnt it. And conservatively, I've worked out the math, it was $5 million worth of stuff they burned. And in so doing, saying, we only want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And now years later, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus a letter. He hasn't visited them in a while. And I'm glad to tell you that the letter indicates God is still at work. In fact, in preparation for this message, I've been so moved by reading Ephesians, because you don't just read one passage when you're preparing a message. You have to read the whole thing and get the context, right? That next Sunday, we're going to start a series on Ephesians, because I think there are a number of messages that we need to hear from this book. But right now, God was still at work in Ephesus, but let me whisper this to you, so was the devil. Wherever you find God at work, you'll find the devil at work. Wherever you find the devil at work, you'll find God at work. And I ask you this question, is God at work in the world today? Yes, he is. I'm going to give you the answer. You can flip the page over and look at the cheat sheet on the other side. Yes, he is. I'm going to ask that question again. Is God at work in the world today? Yes, he is. Is the devil at work in the world today? And who is the greater of the two? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, I have context, personal context, that leads me to explain the message. 3 weeks ago, I was preaching up here in the second service. First service went great. Second service went great as far as everybody was concerned. Nobody else saw this. But as I was preaching, it was almost like the devil himself came and stood by me. And by the time I left the service, I felt I had been slimed by the enemy. Went out, took a missionary out, and they just looked at me and said, what's the deal? I said, I feel like I have been beat up. I don't know what. It wasn't necessarily a message that any more encroached upon the devil's territory than any other, but there are just sometimes, I'm going to tell you, when we are up here, and I'm sure it's for you when you are there, the most incredible stuff comes into your brain. The most impure stuff comes into your brain. Stuff where you say, where in the world did that come from? I don't know why it happens on those particular occasions, but it means that you must be doing something right, because the devil doesn't attack those individuals who are absolutely no threat to him. But I want to tell you something. One of the most unevangelized places on the face of the globe, and certainly the most unevangelized in all of America, is New England, our six states. If abortion's taken off the table, according to the Supreme Court, it will not affect New England in any way. It's airtight. New England is a wonderful place to live. I love New England, really do, and love the people of New England, but it is ungodly. When Vicki and I first visited New England, we decided to rent a car and go up to the tip of the Cape. Didn't know anything about it. We got within 2 miles of it. I pulled the car over and I said, Vicki, I feel very bad. She said, are you sick? I said, I'm not sick, but my spirit is heavy. I don't know what is going on, but there is something in this community that is wrong. And I told her the story. I said, when I was a boy, my father at the age of 5 took me to the Dominican-Haitian border, and I heard the voodoo drums at night, and I saw faces in the window. And from that day to this, God has given me the ability to discern something that is evil, something that is bad, and something that is human. There's something evil here. I didn't know what it was. Went into the town, found out what it was, turned around and left. But I am here to tell you today that Satan is very much at work. And if we are going to be the kind of church that influences our community, we're more than just a bunch of nice people. We need to understand that we're going to have to fight a spiritual battle with spiritual forces. So what brings us to this spot? Well, it's going to take me a few moments to unwrap it, but bear with me. We need to start with the angels. Now, angels were created by God. They are answerable to him and to him only. They are not answerable to you and me. They are God's secret service, not that he needs protection. But if you need a secret service agent, you don't pick up the phone and call them. You call the president, because if you look at the flow chart, they are directly under the president. The president gets to choose who they will protect. So God created angels, and they report directly to him. And they were created before the universe came into existence, however long ago that was. Because it says in Job 38:7 that when God created the universe, the morning stars sang for joy. And it's not talking about those twinkly little things. It's talking about actual creatures. So the angels were already created. And they were spiritual beings, though they can take physical form. We don't know how many angels there are, But Hebrews 12:22 says they are an innumerable company, which means an awful lot. And in Daniel, we read that 10,000 times 10,000 stood before God. That's 100 million. So there are a lot of angels, a lot more than we have names for. In fact, we only have the names of three angels. Catholics say they have the names of seven, but they've been around longer. I don't know what the deal is there. But we've got Michael, we've got Gabriel, and we've got one who no longer has this name, but he originally was called Lucifer. Why do you think we only have the names of three angels if there are millions, if not billions, of them? Some people, we don't know how many, but some people believe that each person who is a believer at least has an angel. That's a supposition, but it's a possible one. But why do we only know the name of three? Let me let you in on a secret. Because God never gives you names unless he wants to give you power. See, we know the 300 names of Jesus and of God that are in the Bible because we know his name. But we are not to be talking to angels, and we are not to be talking to demons. There are some people who just talk to angels and demons every day. And I'm talking about even believers. It is dangerous when we get our eyes off of number one up there down to the really low number two, three, and four, and so on like that. So when we know someone's name, we exert power over them. So God said, I'm not giving you their names. If you need to talk to any angels or any demons, you come to see me about it, and I will do the talking for you. Now, we know angels don't procreate, so whatever the number was at the very beginning, that is the number today. And when Satan got kicked out of heaven, which he did, as we will see, he took with him the playbook. As he got kicked out of the NFL, he took the playbook with him, right? And what was God's a great organizer. So he had this chain of command you can read there in Ephesians chapter 6. There's cherubim first, and then there's seraphim, then there are thrones, then there are dominions. There are four of them. Do you see that? It's in the Bible. And these angels that are in these rankings, they worship God. They serve as instruments of judgment. They deliver answers to prayer. They assist in bringing people to Christ, though they don't give altar calls. They're there. They encourage believers, and they do battle against demonic spirits and demonic forces. Though that's what I'm going to say about angels, which leads us to talking about demons. How did they come about? Well, sometime since the creation of the universe, Lucifer became incredibly proud. You can read about his fall over in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, where it says, five times, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. He decided that he would be greater than God. And he tried to foment a secret rebellion, which is kind of silly when you think about it, because Almighty God is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient, so you can't hide anything from him, especially in his own heaven. But you see, when you get proud, it makes you do stupid stuff, doesn't it? And for all of his power, all of his intellect, and all of his beauty, he did something very crazy. And of course, the Lord, and we don't understand this, it sounds like mythology, but it's true. As a result, according to Revelation 12, 4, about a third of the angels fell with Lucifer. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 10, 18 through 20, I saw Satan fall. In other words, I was there, and I was the one who chucked him out of heaven. Now, the fallen angels then were named demons, and Lucifer became Satan, or the devil, and he's their leader and still is. As I said, when he fell out of heaven, he grabbed hold of the organizational chart, and that organizational chart is right here that you can read for yourselves over in Ephesians chapter 6. Same thing, four different rankings. But he never has been a threat to God. See, Satan is not a threat to God, but he is a threat to us, because God is way greater than him, but he is greater than us. See, you and I were made a little lower than the angels, but because of sin, we slid down to where now we're just a little bit above the animals sometimes, right? So God prepared to punish these rebels, and he created hell, or the lake of fire. And over in Matthew 25, 41, it says that he created the lake of fire for the devil and his angels. Let me pause right there. He did not create it for human beings. He did not create, God created heaven for human beings. He's got a place for you in heaven. Did you know that? Have you sent in your RSVP card? Read the last of Revelation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Have you sent in the card? Have you said yes to Jesus? Have you who are watching today, have you said yes to Jesus? It's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But God uses impeccable logic. If you've served him on earth, you will be comfortable in heaven. If you haven't served him, you'll be comfortable with whomever you served. And that's why we go home to be with the Lord and others don't. Because for individuals who did not care anything about God in this life, heaven would be hell. I want you to chew on that for a little while. Why would an individual who does not care to come into the house of God and participate with the saints of God in preaching and teaching and ministry and singing and prayer and all the rest of the things feel any comfort at all and want to go to heaven? So we were created a little lower than the angels, though get this, one day it says over in 1 Corinthians, we will judge angels. Which ones? The fallen ones. Now I just got a jury summons in the mail. And I never, ever have been accepted to serve on a jury. They find out I'm a pastor, forget it. You know, what did he do? 3 days in the electric chair. Get out of here, you know. But let me tell you, one day we will judge angels. And I'm not even going to try to be objective. I've already made my decision. Have you made your decision? For what you've done to the people I love, for what you've done to the people who are sick, for what you've done in taking 1 million people with COVID, for what you have done over in Buffalo yesterday, for all these things that you were behind, I consign you, if I got a vote in it, to the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Lock him up and throw away the key. Can you say amen to that? But until that day, we've got to prepare for constant warfare. We've talked about angels, we've talked about demons, let's talk about spiritual warfare. Our text affirms that while Satan is more powerful than us, God is more powerful than Satan. Have you ever played the game of paper, scissors, rock? Right? Paper can be cut by the scissors, but the rock can break the scissors. Satan can do damage to us if we aren't in the will of God. But God does damage to him if we cry out to him in believing prayer. In fact, I told the staff this week, pray for me as I preach this message, because Satan knows I'm preparing the message. He's got emissaries everywhere. He knows exactly what's happening. And I've known all along that I would be like a little football player who's kind of fast but small, running across the field, and the quarterback is going to throw the ball to me over the center, and I'm going to leap up and I'm going to grab it. But the moment I do, I'm going to be punished. You know what I mean? That is when 200-300-pounders say, you're going to never wish you had done this. You're going for a ride. And if you've ever been besieged by the enemy, you don't want it to happen on a regular basis. I remember spending an afternoon with Bernard Johnson, a great missionary to Brazil, and he would fill stadiums with 70, 80,000 people, and he knew it was safe in talking to Vicky and myself over lunch that day about the things he'd experienced in Brazil. And in foreign countries, you see things you would never see or believe here, but they happen. They happen. See, people, too, want to see the miraculous. They don't care if it's the dark side or the light side. But I'm telling you something. We need to see more signs and wonders and miracles. And I'm not talking about fake and phony stuff. I'm talking about extraordinary miracles where God comes into the place and does something that nobody can deny. So Ephesians 6, 10 through 11 and 13 through 14 says, having done all this, you are to stand. And it says stand four times. How many times? God doesn't stutter. Do you think if he says you are to stand, that he means you are to stand? You can't fight a battle when you're sitting in an easy chair, having done all to stand. And then he says, as you stand, begin to gird yourself up for battle. I've got this little model of a Roman soldier here that sits on my desk, and I've got a little coin that I carry in my pocket that has these, you can get these from Amazon. And I recommend you get one of these and you carry it with you, because you feel it in your pocket and you can pull it out when you're just doing something there at the office or taking a break and pray through the armament of God. Here's what we need to put on to be able to fight this enemy: the belt of truth. Have you ever told a lie and you got to keep track of the lie and who you told it to and so forth? It's back in that time, for them to fight, they had to curl up the girdings of their loins, as they were called. They had to tie it up, because you can get tangled up in lies. No, take on the belt of truth. Tell the truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Cover your spiritual heart. Feet fitted with the gospel of peace. There was no soldier was going anywhere in that day and time in bare feet in warfare. The shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. The helmet of salvation. Guard your thoughts. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Three times Jesus used the sword in the wilderness when he was fighting the devil himself. What did he say? It is written. It is written. It is written. It is your one aggressive instrument. All the others are protective. I don't understand people who want to go around picking fights with the devil. If it comes, go for it. But don't just walk down a dark alley to see what happens. Even Paul, when he was in Ephesus, rather in Philippi, had a girl follow him. He knew was demon-possessed for a while. He didn't deal with the situation. Finally, he did. Says he tired of it and dealt with it. So spiritual warfare. And then it says, and here we wrap it up, and pray in the Spirit. Five times it says pray. What can we do for our services? We can pray. What can we do before the service? Come early and spend some time in prayer. Prayer. And it says, and do not give, it doesn't say it here, but it says it elsewhere in Ephesians, and do not give the devil a foothold. Don't even give him a, have you ever seen these people who climb the face of a wall and they do it with like their fingertips? I hate heights, so just watching it, I'm like, oh no, I don't. Tell me when the guy finally gets to the top. I can't watch this. Don't give him even a finger hold, because he can do incredible things. It goes on to say in 2 Corinthians that we need to understand that though we walk in the flesh, we do not operate according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of what? Strongholds. So Bernard, how did we get from don't give him even a foothold to strongholds? Because when you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. And when you give the Holy Spirit an inch, he'll take an inch. How much have we given over to God? In our day and time, folks, we are so tempted by so many things. I mean, most of us in this room are not old, but we can remember a time when at least there was some degree of civility. But you would not believe what your young people are seeing on their telephone, what we can see on our telephone. How many individuals who name the name of Christ and may even be going to heaven don't have the power to blow their nose because the devil has them blackmailed. He knows what we're up to. He has the right to say, you don't have the moral authority to tell me anything. That's what happened with the sons of Sceva. Here's the issue, folks. We will be doing our job when Brockton Assembly of God and the members thereof are on the staff meeting notes for Monday morning. When the devil and his minions get together and they say, let's talk about what happened around the world. Well, they're having revival over there at Brockton Assembly of God. I knew it. I knew the moment I saw those people praying that I was in big trouble. How many of us want to give the devil some trouble? I mean, anybody else upset with the devil? Why in the world are we even being in league with him? Let me say that the thing we need to do, and I've got to conclude here, the thing we need to do is stay as far away from him as possible. There was murder, terrible, tragic murder yesterday. But that murder started a long time ago when somebody got angry. Stay away from anger. Then you won't murder anybody. Right? Stay away from thoughts about Bathsheba, and there will not be a problem later on. When I was in Children's Church, I heard a number of stories that affected my life, and I leave you with this one. I remember the story of a man who lived on the top of a mountain. He was very wealthy, and he had a coach. It was back in the day before automobiles. He had a coach, and he had a driver, and this driver got careless, and he would go around the top of that mountain to the very place where the guy's house was, and he began to get careless, and he would see how close he could get to the edge without falling off. And one day it didn't quite work and fell off. He was killed. The owner of the estate was very injured. The horses, the coach were destroyed. So after the man recovered, he said, I need to get another coach and I need to get another driver. And so he interviewed the drivers. And he said, how close could you get to the edge without going over? And one said, oh, I think 18 inches. The other said a foot. The other said a yard. Finally, one man came in and said, you're asking me, after what you've been through, how close I can get to the edge. You need to get somebody else. I would stay as far away from the edge as I could. And he said, you're hired. And I remember that as a boy. We need to stay as far away from the edge as we can. It's not what can we do and get to heaven with. It is how can we live in such a way as to bring the kingdom of God to earth. And so Paul was sitting there and he's looking over and he says, I am bound, but the gospel is not bound. Where does he get this idea? He was between two Roman soldiers, chained. And he looks at them and says, that's what I need to be. I need to be a Christian soldier. And so today we're going to sing a song that we don't sing very often. Rarely do we sing it because it's kind of militant, it's kind of oompa, but it's got perfect words. And it's simply, onward Christian soldiers. Do we have any soldiers in the room? Any people who don't just want to go to heaven, but who want to take somebody with them, who want to give the kingdom of Satan a whooping, so to speak? Understand, when you sign up for this and he sees you in a few moments stand up and you declare war, he's taking names. He's taking names. But don't be afraid of him, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So that's just a brief synopsis of angels, demons, and spiritual warfare. We'll continue it later on. Let's say some things together before we go. And I'm not asking you to say them just blindly. But I think that for the believers in this room or those who want to become believers, they're true. Say this with me. I renounce Satan.
I renounce Satan.
I come against him and his powers.
I come against him and his powers.
Not in my strength.
Not in my strength.
But in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ.
But in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ.
He is the one that I follow.
He is the one that I follow.
I will do battle in his name.
I will do battle in his name.
I will proclaim his name.
I will proclaim his name.
I will faithfully obey him.
I will faithfully obey him.
I am against all of the works of the devil.
I am against all of the works of the devil.
I pray that God will fill me with his Holy Spirit.
I pray that God will fill me with his Holy Spirit.
I give my life to Christ fully.
Give my life to Christ fully.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen. Take a moment right now. Lift your hands to God. Give him glory. Give him praise. Give him honor. Give him thanksgiving. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Lord, we claim victory over the community of Brockton. It may take a while for the operations that you have and the plans you have to be put into motion, but we know we are on the winning side. Lord God, we pray that you would perform miracles in this community. That the news trucks will show up not to be over at the courthouse to report on some murder trial that came to conclusion, but will be at churches like Brockton Assembly of God and others to report on the miraculous that God is doing in this city. There is no better litmus test of your power than Brockton. If you can do it in Brockton, you can do it anywhere. So help us not to be discouraged, But as we go, help us to go in the power of the Spirit. And yes, if we suffer because of what we proclaim today, then let the evil one beware, because there is somebody greater than us who is holding us up. We will stand, we will pray, we will believe, and we will trust. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
And all of God's people say,
amen.
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 Amen. God bless you all. Amen.